we're starting a new series. The series is entitled Pleasing God. How many know this is going to be a good series? Pleasing God. How many want to please God? Oh, come on. How many over here want to please God? Let me see if you know how many want to please God. Okay. How many in this section? How many want to please God? Okay. Come on over here. How many want to please God? There you go. See, don't we want to please God? Now, let me give you a scripture on this. No one entangled in warfare, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself in the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. How many know God has enlisted you as a soldier? Amen. When I was a kid, actually I still sing the song, but when I was a kid, actually I still sing this song, says, I will never fight. March in the infantry, what? Ride in the cavalry, what? Shoot the artillery. I may never fly over the enemy, but I'm in the... Oh, you guys know this song. It's a good song, huh? Yeah, you ought to sing that at school. It's got emotions and the whole thing. I get into it. Amen. But here's what I'm saying. But we might not be in the U.S. military, but God has called you as a soldier into his kingdom. Does that make sense? And so many times we get so entangled with what's going on in the world. And I believe the Holy Spirit started to speak to me and say, you know what, we need to be focused on sometimes we even forget in our busyness. What about God? What pleases him? What pleases God? That's what I want to do. I want to please God. Amen. I don't want to get to my end of my life and say, you know what? And please do me a favor. You know, when I get to the end of my life, don't, you know what, boom, I'm up here in a casket and you're going, you know, put a Dodger cap on me or an Angel cap on me or a Laker cap and say, man, he was a good Laker fan. Oh, I hope you got something better to say about me than I was a good Laker fan. Now, how many know sometimes that's all we can come up with? Oh, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. That's all we can come up with because that was our focus. And what Paul is reminding Timothy, hey, wait a minute. Understand, someone enlisted you as a soldier, and so you need to be focused on pleasing him. Amen. So what pleases God? And this will be our proof text for the whole series right here. We want to please God. Somebody, look at your neighbor and say, I want to please God. So what I want to talk about today, what is something that pleases God? Well, the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please him. It does, listen, notice what it says. It doesn't say it's hard to please him. It says it's impossible to please him. You cannot please God without faith. It's impossible. Can't do it. A lot of people, a lot of even Christian people, mock faith. I'm serious. That's the cool skinny jeans thing to do. That you're an intellectual Christian if you mock these crazy people that you don't want to speak to mountains. See, learn you got to choose whose theology you're going to believe. Jesus or the elites. Well, the big bangers, but also, you know what? All that bunch of unbelief has even crept into the church, and we all of a sudden start coming against the theology of Jesus. Amen. And if you don't know the word, you're going to be confused. And they're going to say, no, no, no. You don't want to get in that whole spectrum of, you know, believing. You know, believing what doesn't exist as though it does. Well, that's weird. Because my Bible says that's what God does. And my Bible says that we are to be imitators of God. See, I'm saying, be careful to whom you listen to. Amen. I want to go to church where they believe the word of God. Amen. I want to have a pastor that's a believing believer. Can somebody say amen to this? Amen. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is what?
Sin.
He's saying, listen, everything you do, you need to have faith in God. Everything you do. He's giving this example of eating. You know, why are you praying over your meal? You're praying over your meal as some kind of religious thing because that's what you've been. I don't pray over my meal to be religious. I pray over my meal that if there's some kind of fungi in it, that it's going to get killed before it hits my mouth. Amen. Come on. Is somebody here today? And so what is faith? Faith is simply just faith is just trusting in what God says. I almost said this. I almost said faith is trusting in God no matter what it looks like.
Oh, come on, there it is.
But then I changed it and I just put this. Faith is trusting in God no matter what. Because sometimes you'll hear something. Sometimes you'll see something. Sometimes you'll feel something. And it will go contrary to what God said. And faith is believing what he said no matter what. Amen. And that pleases God. And that's how we should run our life. The just shall live by their faith. That's what the Bible says. See, this pleases God. And this is critical to teach because we've got all kinds of people who are like that man who said, Lord, I believe. And then right away he recognized, man, I got a lot of unbelief. Help my unbelief. How many vacillate sometimes? You believe, you hear from God, you're like, you read a scripture, you're like, man. And then all of a sudden you get through your week. And you know what? How many were pumped up? Man, listen, if you missed last week, I feel sorry for you. Amen. How many were here last week? How many left? And you left, man, you were pumped. You were like, man, whoa! Right? You know what? But many times, then Monday comes. And then Tuesday comes. And then Wednesday comes. And in with Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday is all the junk and the garbage that we see and we hear. And it's like, No. That's not how we are. Amen. We're not on the roller coaster of believing and unbelieving. No. We're going to stay in faith. We're going to stay, keep on trusting God. Amen. Does this make sense? How many want to please God? How many want to please God? You can't please God and not put your trust in God. Yeah, but my marriage is a mess. What are you talking about? You're not even married, brother. Okay, but whatever. Okay, praise God. It's faith, right? Here's what I'm saying. The Bible says, let the weak say they are strong. Didn't the Bible say that? Why? Because you're putting your faith and trust in God. Amen. Does this make sense? You can't please God without faith. It's impossible. And whatever you're doing, there needs to be this ingredient of trusting God. Amen. Have I made all the decisions that I've made as a pastor here at this church, have they all been good decisions? No, but let me tell you what, they've all been faith decisions. And what I've learned is even if I've missed it, if I'm walking in faith, God has an ability to go ahead and help correct me because I'm pleasing him. Amen? Oh, praise God. I haven't even gotten to my text. Wait till we get to the text. This is just foundational stuff. Amen. You have faith pleases God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. What is faith? Faith is just trusting in God no matter what it see, no matter what you hear, no matter what you see, no matter what it looks like, no matter the circumstance, it doesn't make any difference. Listen, God never changes. Amen. What's faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's substantive. Listen. I don't care what the world tells you. I don't even care what the unbelieving believers say. Faith is a substance. Amen? Faith is a substance of things hoped for. And it's evidence of things what? Not seen. Listen, when you couldn't see this sanctuary, I saw it. When you couldn't see it, it was already substantive. It was already substantive. And it's just a matter of time before, you know what God placed in my heart, you want to see. What's that? That's faith. And that's, listen, and I'm not special. You can walk that way too. Your marriage can be jacked up, and you say, "Ho, ho, ho, ho!" No, let the weak say, "I'm strong." Amen. Mm-mm-mm-mm. Your body can feel miserable, and you say, "You know what? See, don't exalt the doctors over the doctor." Amen. Can somebody say amen? Hallelujah. First Kings, chapter 4, verse 1, have it up here on the screens. A certain woman of the wives of sons of prophets cried out to Elijah, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creator is coming, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons." Watch this. To be his slaves. You think you have problems. Really? How many know this lady is facing an enormous problem? They're not taking her sons for, 3 days, to the mountains. They are taking her sons away to be his slaves. So Elijah said to her, "What shall I do for you?" Oh, you're thinking, yes. Woo! There's hope, right? Yes. The man of God is going to come. He's going to get the checkbook out and write me a check. Hallelujah. Amen. But notice this story. Notice what happens. "What shall I do for you?" But then he says, before she can tell him what to do, he says, "Tell me, what do you have in the house? What you have in the house? What you got in the house? What do you have in the house?" My first point is, you have the answer in the house. No. See, that's what we're always doing. We're always looking for some outside source. We always want someone else to take care of it. And God says, you know, he says, what do you want me to do? And then before she can even respond, he says, let me ask you a question. What you have in the house? God is asking us the same question today. What do you have in the house? Watch this. Romans chapter 10, verse 7. Or who will ascend? Saying, you know, how does faith talk? You know, because let me tell you how it doesn't talk. It doesn't talk like this. Who will ascend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ from the dead. This is just the Bible. But what does it say? What does it say? Here's what it says. The word of God is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of what?
Faith
with which we preach. That's what it is. Watch this. Now, this is a famous verse. We all know this verse. But did you know what preceded this verse? This is a famous verse. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. We know that verse. But do you know before that verse, here's what the apostle is speaking to us and the Spirit is speaking to us. He's saying, hey, wait, understand. Here, let me you theologians. How many theologians? Raise your hand. You're all theologians. You're all saints. That's okay. So saints, you know what? Answer me this question. Has Jesus already died on the cross?
Yep.
We're going to celebrate it next week. Was he already risen from the dead?
Yes.
Okay. So remember Jesus said this? He said, it, how many can help me finish this? He said, it is finished. What's finished in Spanish? How come when I ask, somebody says cavad, somebody says echo? What? In the Bible, it says echo está. Okay. See, a third one. Okay. Here's my point. Any language, everybody still knows it's done. It's already done. It's already finished. So then we understand this, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you will be sozo. You will be whole. You'll be complete. You'll be healed. You'll be saved. That's what saved is. There's this wholeness that God wants to provide for you. See, what's in your house? Amen? What's in your heart? Do you want to accept? Do you want to change your life? Are you tired of being in bondage and being enslaved and being in lust and having a short dress walk by and you can't control yourself but you have to look? Are you tired of that? Because God says, let me tell you what, if you're really tired of that, then let me tell you what, you got it right here. All you have to do is call upon the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Why? Because it's already finished. All you have to do is accept what already has been done. Or to say it like this, all you have to do is recognize what's in the house. Does this make sense to anyone? As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, talking about Abraham, in the presence of him whom he believed God. He believed God. Here's a great message for you today. Just believe God. Just believe God. And that's what Abraham just believed God. Yeah, but it seemed impossible. Yeah, no. Faith is believing God no matter what. In the presence of him, he believed God who gives life to the dead. And what does God do? And he calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Your marriage isn't what it should be? I got a good marriage, amen? No, I don't have a good marriage. I have a great marriage. You know what? Your spouse isn't what you think he or she should be. First of all, let me teach you a lesson on this one. You know what? Don't worry about your spouse. Worry about you. Because let me tell you about your spouse. You can't control your spouse. Oh, now you're shouting me down. Amen? How many know you can't control your spouse? But how many of you know you can control you? So don't worry about that. But use the power of your words, life and death, the power of the tongue. The Bible says, use that. That's what God does. You say, yeah, but that's what God does. What does Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 say? It says, be an imitator of God. Amen. So we're believing what God says about us. Let the weak say, I'm strong. By his stripes, we were healed. Yeah, but the doctor says, who are you going to believe? What report? What report are you going to believe? Whose report are you going to believe? Because you're going to believe somebody's report. And then you're going to start talking about somebody's, you know, well, doctor said, you know what, I got your Herbonus and the Philippiasis. And you know, he said, you can't even pronounce it, and you're talking like it is. Amen. And let me tell you, can I preach to somebody? And all we're doing is building strongholds. Wrong stronghold. Wrong stronghold. You know, start to act like God. Because let me tell you about God. God calls the things which do not exist as though they did. You know, here, you don't believe me? Just open the first page of your Bible. And all you're going to see is no birds. And God says, birds. You know what? And you're going to see no fish. And he says, fish. And you know what? And no sun. And he says, sun. And no stars. And he says, stars. And listen, and be careful. Somebody say good theology. And be careful that you aren't like the unbelieving believers who are going to tell me to stand down. Because Jesus said, do you believe Jesus has good theology? Jesus said that assuredly I say unto you that anyone who speaks to this mountain be removed, cast into the sea. What did Jesus do? Jesus had just cursed the fig tree. And Peter's like, say what? What's up with that? And Jesus is like, I'll tell you what's up. What's up is, you know what? I'm not a respecter of persons. Understand what Jesus was functioning as. Jesus was, according to the word in Philippians, the Bible says he emptied himself of all heavenly privileges. What's he walking at? Was he all God? Absolutely, he was all God. But he wasn't walking as all God when he was on the earth. He was walking as man. That's why when he went to John the Baptist, and John the Baptist said, "Ooh, I can't baptize you." He said, "You, Bucky, you better baptize me." And after he baptized him, the Holy Spirit
sat on him.
Right?
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Right? Read it. Read it. And now, and then he walks. Where does he go? Who knows where he goes besides Jonathan? Who knows where he goes after this? He goes into the wilderness, but what does the Bible say? Why does he go in the wilderness? I heard it from Pastor Paul. Thank you. Led by the Spirit. Now what's he doing? He's functioning as a spirit-filled man. What you? You're a spirit-filled man. Mankind. That's what you are. And that's how you're supposed to walk. stop saying, you know what, trying to call up Jesus from the abyss and down from heaven. The word of faith speaks like this. It says, no. The word of God is on my mouth. That's what it says. Amen. Who, contrary to hope, believed in hope. No matter what. There's no hope in this. I'm 100, she's 90. You know what I mean? She couldn't even, when she was 20, she couldn't bear kids. This is hopeless. God, and Abraham says, I don't care. What does he do? He calls the things that are not as though they were. What's God call him? He said, let me tell you what. You're a father of many nations. Your descendants are going to be multitudes. See, who else is doing that? Listen, who's doing that in your life? Who's speaking over your marriage if you're cursing your marriage? Who's speaking over your body if you're cursing your body? Who's speaking over your finances if you if every time I hear you speak, I got nothing, man. Really? See, the Bible says, with your mouth you praise God, and with your mouth you curse men. You know what he says? He says, stop it. Shouldn't be that way. And stop cursing you. Stop cursing your marriage. Stop cursing everything that you, God ain't cursing. What do you think Jesus is doing? He's interceding for you. What do you think he's praying over you? Sickness and poverty? Poverty. Said a key word. Ooh. Let me just tell you what I'm talking about, poverty. I'm talking about lack. Let me tell you what you're going to find in heaven. You ain't going to find no lack in heaven. There's no corner in heaven you're going to find any lack. No lack in heaven. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I said, Pastor, when are you going to get to the lady? I'm going to get to the lady. Just hang on. I'm going to get to the lady. Listen, I have this on my notes in all caps. Faith changes everything. Faith changes everything. You start trusting in God beyond what you can see, beyond what you feel. Stop allowing your feelings to dictate what your life is going to be. You start controlling your life. You start allowing the word of God to say, you know what, as far as me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. You know what, let God be true and every man a liar. And start to bless your family. Start to bless your body. Start to bless your situations. Start to bless your goofball boss. Amen. Oh, amen. Cursing your goofball boss, calling him a goofball and a knucklehead and a lot of other stuff I can't even say. But you know what? Stop it. Stop. Start to bless. You are called to be a blesser, not a curser. Amen. You have the answer in your house. That's where it is. You have the answer in your house. I gotta go back. Where am I? Oh, yeah, thank you. Look at this. Kings. So Eliza said to her, what shall I do for you? But then before she can answer, he says, tell me what you have in the house. And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. I got nothing. And so what we do is we focus on our emptiness. We focus on our lack. And as we focus on our lack, see, let me tell you what. Write this down. Satan wants to minimize her jar of oil because her jar of oil is going to be her salvation. Is this not right? You are so busy looking at what you don't have in your house that you're not recognizing what you do have in your house. You're so busy looking at your insufficiencies that you can't even see how awesome a person you are. Yeah, you try to say R like that. That is preaching. I'm serious. And we get so focused on the what we don't have. We're so busy. We walk by sight, not by faith. And so we're looking at the score. We're looking at the score, looking at the score, looking at the score. Listen, you know what? I don't care. You know what? You take the three best ballers in the congregation. You pick them. I don't care. You pick them. Three best ballers. Boom, boom, boom. Okay, you know what? Pastor Paul might be on that list. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Amen. Three best ballers in the house. And I will play against you. And I will spot you 80 points. And we're only going to 100. Somebody say amen to this. Okay. You say, Pastor, how come you're not focusing? How come you're not focusing? How come you're not focusing on the score? There's no way. Oh, no. I'm sorry. Did I tell you it's a 3-on-3? Did I tell you it was 3-on-3? Did I tell you that? 3-on-3. Three best ballers against me. And I'm going to spot you 80 points. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to whoop you. You know why I'm going to whoop you? Because you know who's on my team? LeBron James and Steph Curry. See, how many know I don't sweat you? How many know with those two guys on my team, I'm going to spot you 80 points, and I'm not going to be, what do you think? I don't know. But that's what we do. Because here's what we're doing. We're too busy looking at the score. We're too busy looking at the circumstances to recognize who's in our house. Yeah. Who's in your house? The Bible says the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same spirit that lives inside of you. See, who's in your house? Whoo! See, but you got to get your eyes off the score and start to take the bet. Amen? I say, Pastor, what about the lady? I'm getting to the lady. I'm getting to the lady. What'd she say? Here's what she's saying. She's saying, somebody got to help me out up here. I hit something wrong. What's she saying? Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Can I tell you? Here's what happens in the story. Let me just tell you what happens in the story. In the story, the prophet says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go outside the house and collect as many jars as you can. And bring those jars back. And then here's what's going to happen. And then you're going to take the jar that you have. Somebody said the jar that you have. And you're going to start to pour. You're going to start to pour from that jar into these other jars. Now, what is that? Here's what that is. That is faith. I want to do this. I ran out of time. But if I had that pitcher here that was filled with water halfway up, and I had an empty pitcher over here, and I picked up that pitcher and I put it over on this pitcher, how many know I'm only going to have half of oil? But listen to me. How many remember this story? How many remember? I think it was Andrew who said, Jesus said, "Hey, do we got some food? We got some food?" See, and Andrew says this. He says, there's a boy with a small little, you know, what did he have? Two fish and five loaves, small little loaves of bread. He's got a little, you know what, a little, you know, Kentucky Fried Chicken little thing, you know what I mean? And he says this. He's like, "Oh, we got this." But then he does the same thing the woman did. But what is that amongst so many? See, we spend so much time looking at the emptiness that we never walk in faith in what we have. Can I tell you what's going to get you out of your mess? What's going to get you out of your mess is you being obedient to put what you have in the hands of God. Because that boy, in his hands, he's only got enough for him. But when he puts what he has. Somebody say what he has. See, that's the focus. You focus on your emptiness, and you can't even see what you have. Is this making sense? Try to find it real quick. I think it's Matthew 13:12. Or maybe it's 12:13. Get that up for me as soon as you can. I think it's 12. Oh, yeah. Watch this. Thank you. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But he will give, and he will have an abundance. Watch this. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. That's exactly what's happening in our lives. We focus on what we think we don't have. All we have, you know what? The whole house is empty. All I have is just this little bit. God says, that's all you need. See, how many know, in a period of time, can we go a little deeper? In a little bit, how many know who knows about your big nose more than anybody else? You do. How many who knows about your flappy ears more than anybody else? Who knows about your, you know, you got some hair and it's got, what do they call those things? It goes, woo. You got a calic. No, anybody knows, but you know about your calic. Amen. You know about your big funky feet and all, you know about all your stuff. And in the course of time, doesn't it seem, I don't know about you, but how many old enough to recognize in the course of time, Satan keeps on to remind you about those things. And your house just seems to be more empty and more empty and more empty and more empty. You know what? True story. Tamara, myself, Shayla, Joel, Tyler, Megan couldn't go. We went up to San Francisco for a conference. And in that conference, you know what? The prophet called Shayla up and prophesied over Shayla. Well, when Shayla was up there, the prophet told me to come up there and eventually told us all to come up there. Well, when we were up there, here's what the prophet told me. He said, and this is almost had nothing to do with anything that he was even talking about, because he was predominantly prophesying over Shayla. But he takes the time, and here's what he says. He says, he looks right at me. I think he even pointed to me, and he said, I just want to let you know, you're a good father, and you're a good husband. How many husbands ever feel like, man, you are just can't seem to get it together? How many fathers just think, it's like, oh my goodness, I love my kids, but man. That's not what God spoke over me. And that's not because I'm something special. It's because, you know what? I am a good father. And I am a good husband. Can I tell you about you? You're a good father. And you're a good husband. See, you know what your kids need? You know what your kids need? Your kid needs you. That's all they need. You know what your wife needs? She needs you. And God speaks to you and says, no, let me tell you what. Stop focusing on what you don't have. Because here's what happens. Can I tell you what happens? Can we go deeper on this? Can we? I'm going to hit a nerve. I'm serious. Can I go deeper? Here's what I'm saying. Here's what happens. In our insecurities, we pull out the victim card. Watch this. And the victim card says, you know, it's all like, well, let me tell you why I did this, because, you know, and I'm not saying some of you were raised with like crazy parents. Some of you weren't even raised with parents, you know what I mean? But you know what I'm talking about. There's, you know, in this many people, there's all kinds of, you know what I mean, junk, right? In our heritage, right? And Satan throws that in your face. And your husband, how many have been hurt by your husband? If you're a wife and you don't have your hand up, you're sleeping. Wake up. Okay. How many have been hurt by your wife? All of us. And so Satan throws the victim card out there. And what that does, here's why. Because you want to. Let me tell you what Satan wants to do. Satan is freaked out about your jar of oil. Because your jar of oil, if you will take that jar and start by faith collecting other jars and pouring out, then you're going to just keep on filling. All of a sudden, there's going to be an abundance. And what Satan doesn't want you to recognize is the ability that you have in your house. The answer wasn't, the prophet said, what do you have in your house? That is the answer. The answer is what God has placed inside you is enough if you will start pouring it out. Amen. One lady who had, doctor told her, you have terminal cancer. Stage 4, terminal cancer. Get your life in order. You have very little time to live. You know what she did? She went around the hospital and she started praying for cancer victims. 20 years later, she's still alive. And not alive like barely. I'm talking about she is living just an amazing life. Completely healed. Amen. Completely healed. See, Satan has us so focused on what we don't have that we, watch this, you know what it is? It's a poverty mentality. And in a poverty mentality, you start to withhold, and the very thing that gets her over, listen, this will blow your theology out the window. Who dictated the abundance that she had? Who dictated it? Somebody said Jesus. Wrong. Wrong. God sent her the prophet to give her the solution. Hallelujah. But she dictated the abundance. Not only her, she dictated, watch this, the volume of her blessing, she dictated it. Amen. What about the prophet? You know, go see if there's any rain. See if there's any rain. His servant goes, you know, and don't, you know, he doesn't like go outside. Oh, there's no rain. Go back. No, he's got to go walk up to the hill. Walks up there. You know what? Not even a cloud comes up. There's not even a cloud. No cloud. No nothing. Go back up. What is there now? Nothing. Go back up. What is there now? Nothing. Go back up. What is there now? Nothing. Go back up. I said, Pastor, how many times are you going to do this? Listen, you weren't walking all the way up and all the way back. And then finally, after 7 times, he says, there's a small little cloud, smaller than a hand. How many know that's a small cloud? Do you know in a short period of time, there is going to be such a deluge of rain that there's going to be puddles of water all around. Amen? See, we've got to understand. I almost titled this message before. Because I wanted you guys to understand. How does it happen? It happens before. She's got nothing except a small little, what she sees as insignificant. But when you take what's insignificant and you put it and you start to pour it in God's hands, it becomes very significant. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What does the prophet say? Another story. It's also in Kings. Prophet says to this lady, she says, you know what? This lady is just a widow woman. Not a widow woman. I learned that from Joel. I thought it was great. Okay. Not a widow woman. A widow. She didn't have a husband. And the prophet goes to her and says, you know what? And she's like, no, listen, don't bother me. Here's where I'm at. See, we get used to saying this. The man who's been sick, paralyzed, has Jesus in front of him. And what does he say? He says, you tell my problem. I don't got a man. See, that's how we are. We have Jesus in front of us, and to Jesus' face, we're going to say, we're all jacked up. Let me tell you what, you are not all jacked up. Your oil is in your house. What's he tell the woman? He tells the widow woman, here's what I want you to do. She says, let me tell you where I'm at. I'm going to make a cake, a small little cake, because that's all we got. And then we're going to eat a small little cake, and then we're going to die. We're not at the end. We're at the end of the end of the end, and we're just going to eat this cake, and we're going to eat it, and then we're going to die. And what does the prophet say? So interesting. You know what the prophet says? He's like, oh, really? Small little cake, you're going to die? You're really jacked up, aren't you? Ooh, we're really jacked up. Yeah, well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to make me a cake first. See, here's what we do. We have a poverty mentality, and we protect ourselves because we've been hurt. I've been hurt, and you know what? My wife doesn't love me enough. My husband doesn't love me enough. My husband's hurt me. My wife's hurt me. You know what? Nobody recognizes the talent that I have. You know what? I worked for Lucky's Albertsons for 25 years. You know, 25 years. You know when I started when I was 8. But the whole point is when I wrote my 2-week letter of resigning, nobody cried. Nobody threw me a party. Nobody said, man, we're going to miss your singing, Pastor Drew. Well, they didn't call me Pastor Drew. We're not going to miss your singing. We're going to miss your optimism. Nobody said nothing. This true story. And we start to feel hurt. And we start to feel minimized. And we start to feel victimized. And God says, you know what your problem is? Your problem is you have such a negative attitude of what you have. You don't even recognize what you have. Start taking what you have. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to make me a cake first. Give, here's what Jesus says. Give, and it will come back to you. Good measure. No, not like you gave it. See, the woman that made, and what did she do? She made him a cake. Ooh, see, do what God tells you to do, no matter what it looks like. She makes him a cake, and guess what? Now she's going to have, you know what? She could make a cake, you know, Valentine's Day. She could make a Valentine's cake. You know, birthday, she could make a birthday cake. She could make any kind of cake she wanted, because until it started to rain again, she just had plenty of flour and oil and flour and oil. And you know what? It sustained all of them in the house. Are you learning something? See, you can't have that victim mentality. You're going to be a victim. You're going to protect yourself. You're going to put all these walls around you. You're going to be, and you know what? And the very thing the Bible says, given, it will be given back to you.
That's right.
You're cutting yourself off. Right. Notice, who dictated the volume of blessing that she was going to have? Elijah did not. Who dictated the volume of blessing that she was going to have? She and her boys did.
Well, I've never seen that in the New Testament.
Well, have you not read, you know what, Corinthians? Because Corinthians says, if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. I've just been hurt. I'm not going to give love. I'm not going to give love. I'm not going to give love. I've got no love. You got love. You got love. You just are so used. You've just got, and watch this, and you're cursing your marriage. Amen. Your marriage has become impoverished. Your life has become impoverished because you were so busy focusing on what little you had. You know, the Bible says, there's an amazing verse in the Bible says about the about one church. It says, they gave with abundant joy out of their, listen to this, it doesn't say out of their poverty. It says out of their extreme poverty. How do you give out of extreme poverty? You stop looking at what you don't have and you start looking at what you can give. That's how you do it. And you know, the Bible says, with this abundance of joy, they gave their extreme poverty. Why are they joyous? Because they know what Jesus said. Give, and it will come back to you. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Stop figuring out what you're going to give based on, you know what, the emptiness of your house. And start looking at what you have. And start giving that. And your life will change. You'll start walking in the blessings of God. Your marriage will get better. Your health will get better. Your finances will get better. Every area of your life will get better. The little boy, watch this. He gave and he had just two fish and five loaves. How many know his two fish and five loaves of bread turned it just for himself, turned into all you can eat? If I'm talking to a 13-year-old, I say, what do you want? You want to go over to Shakey's? We'll do a bunch of lunch. Or you want this little, you know, this little sandwich and stuff. He's going to go, man, let's go to a bunch of lunch. And how many know God makes everything better? Amen. That little boy's like, man, mom. He got home, mom, you learn how to cook? No, his mom didn't learn how to cook. He took what he had and he blessed it. And God multiplied it.
How many of you saw the movie Breakthrough with us? Okay. Did you talk about this at all on Wednesday?
Not yet.
Okay.
I did on Wednesday.
So let me say something about Breakthrough. First of all, it's a movie. Second of all, they're telling you a true story that happened. So don't get your doctrine from the movie. Do you understand that? They're telling you a story how it happened. So that doesn't mean that what was happening was always biblical. Does that make sense? So that mother, thank God. How many did you see when she was a loner, lone ranger, the only one, you know what, who knew what God had said and who was walking in what God had said and believing what God had said. And it was interesting because it was as if through the movie, through looking at the reaction of some of the other people, is like she was wrong. Like she was out of order. She wasn't out of order. She wasn't wrong. And thank God that she grabbed hold of God's word when nobody else would or could.
That's right.
And it's such a good picture for you to see. You know what? And at some point, now listen, you know what? I hope it kind of leaves it to your speculation, but she could have walked a little bit more in love at some times, right? She could have been a little sweeter. But was Jesus sweet when he grabbed the whip? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? So that's for her, you know what, to kind of judge whatever. But so if she, maybe in some of the things that she said, what she meant, she could have been a little more loving and understanding to some people. But everything she did, as far as her actions and the way she conducted herself, 200% correct. So don't walk away from that movie. Here's another one. Was Jesus loving when he told everyone, get out of here. All you get out of here. The only one who can come in is the mom. Was he loving or unloving? Yeah. He's taking control to make sure that it's going to go God's way right there. And that's what that mother did. And that's what we need to do in situations in our life. Is that we, you know what? We don't move off of what God said in spite of what we see. We believe what God said in spite of what they say. Right? That we just walk by faith, not by sight. That we call the things that aren't as though they are. We are a church who believes in faith. And some people think that makes us weirdos. But then those people don't know their Bible. So don't let them get you off of God's word. Because at the end of the day, he's my Lord. I'm here to worship him. I'm here to have him direct me. I'm here to walk in his ways. And that is many times contrary to the experts. But he is the only expert at the end of the day. So don't get caught up in the experts. Amen? I don't know if there's something that, you know what, the Holy Spirit, you know what, is our helper. That's who he is. And he helps us. And we need to ask him for help. And we need to believe that he's answering us. We need to listen and hear what he's got to say. And then have the courage and the boldness. It's interesting because the disciples would always be praying and asking for courage and boldness. Because you're usually walking up flow, you know what I mean, of the experts. And we need to be able to just do that. So if there's something as this has been being taught and we're going to continue, we're not changing on this because God's not changing. It's who he is. And the lady who came here one time and she said, wow, I travel all over and nobody has stories like you have. Those are testimonies. And they're testimonies because I believe God over circumstances. They're testimonies because I know his word and I trust him and I believe his word. And you'll have them too if you do that. But we can't let things and people get in our way of what God has for us. We got to have courage and boldness. So I want us to just, I know the Holy Spirit is just quickening many of us. There's probably things that we have just laid down. You know, things that we've let the experts talk us out of. Things that we've began to just let the enemy begin to sow seeds of doubt concerning what God has said. But I want you to think about what that is right now, that the Lord is just quickening you. And then I want us to just go to the Lord and just today we're going to renew, you know, what God has said. And we're going to get back on God's plan and not on the plan of the enemy that he's trying to shut something down. But we're going to say, no, God, you know what? We're sticking with you all the way. Amen. If you have something that you say, yep, I know there's something that the Holy Spirit's just you know what? He's been showing me. I got something. Anyone? A few of us here? All right. I want you to just believe with me. We're just going to ask the Lord to be our helper. You know what? And I want you to begin to just stir up what God has said, the dreams and the what he spoke that you've just laid it down. Pick it back up. Pick it back up and begin to just move in faith of what God has said. That's why we have the with God, nothing is impossible. You know what? That we have, many of us have our faith right there in those jars. You know what? And we're trusting God. You know what? That he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we're going to do our part, and we know he's going to do his part. Amen? Father, I just thank you for everyone who you've just shown something today. And I thank you, Father, that you are our God and that we are your people and that we walk by faith, not by sight. I thank you, Father, that the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us into truth. He is our helper. Holy Spirit, thank you for helping us. I pray that you just begin to minister to each one. Every detail that you would have them do, Father, and that we will just move in faith towards the things that we know that you have said and that you have for us concerning all kinds of areas. Father, thank you for who you are and what you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.